Welcome back. Today, we're going to break down one of the most elegant, but also most powerful movements in all of Pilates, the swan dive. I love this cue. It just perfectly captures the feeling of the exercise, right? It's all about that length, that lift, that seamless connection through your entire body. And yeah, it sounds poetic, but believe it or not, it's also a really precise piece of biomechanical instruction.
So the big question is, how do you get from just lying on a mat to this dynamic, beautiful, rocking motion? Well, I'll tell you one thing. It's not about just throwing yourself into it. Nope. It's all about building a solid foundation and moving through careful, controlled steps. And that's exactly what we're going to do today.
Okay, so let's start with the basics. What exactly is a swan dive? Well, in the world of Pilates, this is a very specific and definitely advanced movement.
So you're lying on your stomach, and the goal is to create this beautiful, rhythmic, rocking motion. Now, the key phrase here is upper back extension. This is so important. The power doesn't come from crunching your low back or just pushing with your arms. It's got to come from the entire chain of muscles all the way down the back of your body, all working together in perfect harmony.
And this right here, this is the main goal. It is such a common mistake to think you have to lift as high as you possibly can. That's not it. The real magic of the swan dive is creating this long, graceful arc. Think of it like a bow being drawn. And then it's about maintaining that length and that control through the entire rocking motion.
All right, before we even think about rocking or lifting or anything, we have to talk about the setup. This is non-negotiable. This is the foundation that makes the whole thing safe and effective. Seriously, if you get this right, everything else just kind of falls into place.
I want you to think of these four things as your pillars of stability. First, your pelvis. That's your anchor. It stays quiet and grounded. Then your shoulders. You got to keep them wide and pull them down, away from your ears, to create that space. Your neck just continues that long, beautiful line of your spine. And finally, your breath. Don't forget to breathe. Your breath is literally the engine that drives the rhythm of this whole movement.
I love this cue. Be a dart, not a banana. It's just such a perfect mental image, isn't it? A dart is long, it's streamlined, it's direct. A banana, well, it's all bent in the middle. This one little phrase instantly reminds you to find that length from head to toe and avoid that super common pitfall of just crunching into your lower back.
So we've got the foundation. Now, how do we actually build up to the full movement? Well, we break it down. The learning process has three fundamental tiers that let us master this thing from the ground up.
And trust me, the progression here is key. We're going to start small with what we'll call the micro bow, just to feel the movement. Then, we'll learn the timing with the catch and release. And finally, we'll put it all together into the continuous rock. Every single step is a vital building block for the one that comes after it.
Okay, tier one. The whole goal here is just to find your pivot point. I want you to imagine a tiny little seesaw right around your lower ribs. Your hands stay on the mat the whole time, helping you feel that lift in your upper back and really establish the breathing pattern, all without the extra challenge of balancing.
So who's actually doing the work in this first step? Well, think of it like two teams. You've got your movers, that's your upper back extensors and a little bit of triceps. They're creating the lift. But honestly, the real heroes here are the anchors. Your deep core muscles, your glutes, your hamstrings, and the muscles around your shoulder blades. They are working so hard to keep everything stable and long.
Okay, now things are about to get a little more dynamic. Welcome to tier two. Here, we introduce what we call the flight phase. Just for a split second, your hands are going to release, your legs will float up, and then you have to safely catch yourself on the mat. This part is all about timing and all about control.
And you'll notice the jobs have shifted a bit. Now that we've added that flight phase, your glutes and hamstrings have become primary movers. They're actively lifting your legs. At the same time, your anchors, especially those shoulder blade muscles, have to work even harder to stop you from shrugging your shoulders up to your ears as your arms reach out and then catch you.
And here we are. Tier 3. This is it, the classic swan dive. Now, we connect all the dots. The goal is to move from that catch and release into a totally fluid, uninterrupted rocking motion. It's not a bunch of separate movements anymore. It's one continuous, graceful flow.
At this stage, everything is fully integrated. Your spinal extensors aren't just lifting anymore. They're working rhythmically, contracting and lengthening with every single rock. Your entire deep core system is on full alert, providing constant stability. And hey, look who joined the party. Your inner thighs are now part of the anchor team, helping to keep those legs perfectly aligned right behind you.
Okay, so let's say you've mastered the continuous rock. You're feeling good, you're feeling strong. Where do you go from here? Well, that's where tiers 4 and 5 come in. These are for those of you who are ready to really refine the movement and add a whole new level of challenge.
So advancing the move can actually mean two different things. In tier 4, you're adding a challenge by changing the levers, like reaching your arms fully overhead, which is way harder. But tier 5? Oh, tier 5 is about ultimate mastery. You're not just doing the move anymore, you're playing with it. You're making the rock bigger or smaller, faster or slower, all while keeping that perfect control.
All right, let's talk about what is arguably the most important section of this whole thing, playing it smart and safe. Look, a powerful exercise like the swan dive, it requires respect. Knowing what to watch for and knowing when to modify is literally what separates a smart practitioner from an injured one. These are the four big mistakes to avoid. Number one, that banana back we've been talking about. Number two, landing hard on your ribs. That's a sure sign you've lost control. Three, shrugging your shoulders up to your ears. That shows you're losing stability. And four, craning your neck to look too far forward, which just breaks that beautiful long line. Now, if you feel yourself doing any of these, the solution is almost always the same. Make the movement smaller and go back to focusing on your foundation.
And this is just so crucial. The swan dive is not for everybody every single day. For instance, if you have specific spinal conditions, or you're pregnant, or dealing with significant osteoporosis, these are all really good reasons to stick to the earlier preps or maybe just choose another exercise altogether. Safety always, always comes first. No exceptions.
So when it all comes down to it, just remember this. You have to earn your range of motion through stability and length. You can never, ever force it. And when you're done, please always give your spine a chance to relax in the opposite direction. A simple child's pose is the perfect way to say thank you to your back for all that hard work.
You know, the journey of learning the swan dive teaches us this really universal lesson. It shows us that the most advanced, the most seemingly impossible skills, they're really just a collection of simple, foundational steps that are executed perfectly and then layered one on top of the other. So it really makes you wonder, doesn't it? What other impossible skill could you achieve in any part of your life if you just truly committed to mastering that very first step?